Chapter 12, War Control. In information-based local wars, various conflicts are complicated and the battlefield conditions are changing rapidly. Only by firmly controlling the war situation can we grasp the initiative of war. Therefore, it is necessary to scientifically design and actively control the beginning, process, and outcome of the war, and strive to closely cooperate with political, economic, and diplomatic struggles with limited combat operations to obtain a favorable war situation and lead the war to victory. Section 1. The Meaning and Characteristics of War Situation Control. Control of the war situation refers to the strategic director's control of the objectives, means, timing, process, scale, intensity, and consequences of the war according to the development of the situation, striving to win the strategic initiative, obtain the greatest war benefits, and appropriately achieve political goals. 1. The Meaning of War Control. The reality of close correlation of war situation control and strategic objectives and effective control of the war situation is not only a requirement for victory in the war, but also a requirement for political goals. In informationized local wars, the significance of war situation control is prominently manifested in the following aspects. 1 is to win the initiative in war. Effectively controlling the situation and driving the war freely have always been the diligently pursued goals of Chinese and foreign strategic instructors in ancient and modern times. In the long history of human warfare, due to the limitations of control methods, it is often difficult for the war machine to stop once it is activated. However, changes in the war environment and the growth and decline of the strength of the two warring parties have made it commonplace for the initiative of war to change hands. With the emergence of information technology and its application to the three levels of war, strategic, operational, and tactical, have significantly improved their ability to grasp and handle battlefield conditions as well as overall control of the situation and effectively gain the initiative of war. The second is to achieve the best coordination between military and political, economic, and diplomatic means. In past wars, due to the lack of timely and accurate control of combat operations, it was objectively difficult to achieve cooperation between military and non-military means in the course of the war, so military victory was more emphasized. Under the conditions of informatization and intelligence, the means of war control are highly developed, which can promote the close interaction between military strikes and political, economic, diplomatic, and other means to form an organic whole. War situation control can actively regulate the joint actions of military forces and economic, diplomatic, and other departments, promote the overall linkage of multi-domain struggles, and achieve comprehensive victory so that the evolution of the war situation can meet the strategic needs. The third is to reduce the risk of war. War is a field full of uncertainties, and even a war that is sure to win, there are risks. Because of this, to conduct a war, we must carefully analyze various possibilities, control the situation, deal with sudden changes, and reduce risks. In particular, information technology and intelligent technology have rapidly materialized into new weapons and equipment, and the destructiveness of war has reached an unprecedented level. At the same time, the international background of information warfare is extremely complex, and uncertain factors have increased dramatically, leading to the possibility that the war will be drawn out. Therefore, only by flexibly and effectively controlling the war situation can we be invincible. The fourth is to improve the effectiveness of warfare. The control of the war situation must not only ensure that the war is won, but also work hard to reduce the losses in the war and increase the efficiency of the war. In fact, the high demand on resources for information warfare can hardly be sustained for a long time by a rich country like the United States. The first 5 years of the Iraq War consumed $648 billion, which is close to the total expenditure of the Vietnam War. By the time President Obama announced the end of the U.S. military's combat mission in Iraq in 2010, it had consumed $1 trillion U.S. dollars, which severely affected the U.S. economy and exacerbated the financial crisis. The fact that in the Afghanistan and Iraq wars, the U.S. was victorious in battle, but not successful, proves that effectively controlling the war situation and limiting war expenditures are absolute necessities of strategic direction. 2. The characteristics of war control. Control of the war situation is a dynamic process requiring strategic instructors to continuously track, analyze, and judge the situation, predict the development of the battle situation, determine the war situation, control objectives, select control methods, and influence the war situation through continuous control activities to achieve strategic goals. One is the whole process. The control of the war situation exists in the whole process from the beginning to the end of the war. It exists in every link of the initiation, process, and end of the war, covering the tangible battlefields on the ground, sea, air, and space, as well as the invisible battlefield of cyber electromagnetic space. To implement effective battle situation control, strategic instructors are required to stand at the height of the overall situation and regulate the mobilization and deployment of war forces, the deployment and development of war operations, the raising and deployment of war resources, and the selection and transformation of offensive and defensive situations. The second is coordination. Control of the war situation not only involves confrontation on the battlefield, but also affects international political, economic, diplomatic, technological, and cultural struggles. Any factor may have a major impact on the situation of the war, and relying solely on military means is far from meeting the requirements. Therefore, war situation control should take care of military and non-military motives, conduct horizontal coordination and comprehensive control of combat operations and non-combat operations, and strive to adopt appropriate means of action for different types of control targets, coordinate and promote each other so as to achieve effective control of the battle. The third is restriction. The control of the war situation includes both objective constraints and subjective constraints. First of all, the control of the war situation is restricted by strategic objectives. Purpose is the cause of all control. If the purpose is lost, control will be without a target. In the battle situation control, the strategic instructor should implement the control of the war according to the strategic goal and adjust the battle situation to the target situation. In the final analysis, battle situation control is based on whether the goal is achieved and whether it can be achieved as the criterion. Secondly, the control of the battle situation is restricted by the means of control. Under the conditions of informatization and intelligence, the transparency of the battlefield objectively stipulates the knowability of the battle situation, which is the prerequisite for the control of the war situation. Whoever has more control over the current situation and development trend of the war situation will tilt the balance of the war situation to that side. Otherwise, the constraints will be even greater. Third, the battle situation control is restricted by the battlefield command and control ability. The C4ISRK system is the backbone of control of the war situation, especially the network information level of the command system, which determines the ability to coordinate and control the operations of various services and arms. In addition, the control of the war situation is also restricted by diplomacy, public opinion, and international law. The fourth is risk. Control of the war situation is through the effective control of our combat forces and their actions, and influences the enemy's control of combat forces and their actions, and promotes a battlefield situation and strategic situation that is beneficial to us. Therefore, control of the war situation follows the general law of cybernetics, which has the characteristics of more regulation and risk stronger regulation, and greater risk. Practice has shown that in the process of implementing control, various factors interact and have different effects on the battle situation. Especially under the conditions of informatization and intelligence, the factors affecting the battle situation interact faster, and the unpredictable, sudden, and accidental factors are very active. They often cause the control of the war situation, L, to deviate from the correct track under unexpected external intervention, and even lead to a war situation. The control failed, and the war situation was reversed. Section 2. War Control Principles. The essence of the control of the war situation is to keep abreast of the development and changes of the war situation, make full use of the conditions that are favorable to us and the conditions that are unfavorable to the enemy, and comprehensively adopt various methods to make use of the situation, seek advantages and avoid disadvantages, expand our advantages and restrain the enemy's advantages, and control the cost of war to a minimum to win victory. In the control of the war situation, the following principles should be emphasized. One is to seize the initiative in war as the whole focus, and to promote the development of the war in a favorable direction. The purpose of controlling the war situation is to promote the battlefield situation, domestic and foreign situations, to develop in a direction that is beneficial to us and not to the enemy, so as to seize and maintain the initiative in the war. Specifically, it is to control the situation, create a situation, control the opening of the war to create a favorable situation for the development of the war, and control the development of the battle to create a favorable situation for the end of the war. To this end, first, it emphasizes the implementation of meticulous guidance and effective driving in the whole process of the war, avoiding the front and the back, and avoiding the ability to control when the fight is good and take the initiative to give up control when the fight is not good. Second, the emphasis is on purposeful and planned. Implement war situation control. Avoid randomness and blindness. Again, emphasize adaptive adjustment control. Adjust control in response to emerging new situations. Adjust control according to changes in strategic objectives, rather than statically implement control. The second is to focus on comprehensive victory in multiple fields and coordinate and support military and political, economic, diplomatic, and public opinion struggles. The outcome of war in the information age is not simply determined by military power, but depends on the comprehensive use of various powers such as politics, military, economics, diplomacy, and public opinion. Military and non-military conflicts are usually used interchangeably or at the same time to achieve the best results. For this reason, control of the war situation is not limited to combat control. It also controls the close coordination of combat operations with political, economic, diplomatic, and public opinion operations, and uses political control, battlefield control, economic control, and theory control methods to form a joint force in multi-domain operations to avoid mutual constraints. Specifically, on the one hand, we must control many areas of struggle to improve the situation at home and abroad, create momentum with politics and diplomacy, strive for all forces that can be united, form a united front, obtain maximum international support for our side, compress the opponent's international activity space, and create a favorable internal and external environment. At the same time, it effectively controls the possible impact of war actions on the interests of relevant countries and the public, and establishes a favorable external environment for the entire process of the war. On the other hand, various actions must be well regulated to improve the battlefield situation. By taking proactive deterrence actions, public opinion offensives, and legal offensives, we can maximize the deterrence of the enemy, mobilize the enemy, and boost our morale, maximize the control of the allocation and application of key weapons and resources, and control the preset battlefield and strategic deployment. Strive for the initiative for the correct use of military power and better control of the battle. The third is to adhere to partial obedience to the overall situation and maintain a high degree of consistency between strategic control and combat tactical control. Game control emphasizes the overall idea of a game of chess. On the one hand, it is emphasized that the control of multiple directions should highlight the integrity and unify the battle situation in each strategic direction. For example, Mao Zedong coordinated the layout of the three major battles as a whole in the control of the battle situation of the War of Liberation, not only to pursue one direction and victory in one battle, but to control the overall situation of each battlefield from an overall perspective. In particular, the development of the Battle of Huaihai and the development of the Battle of Tianjin were combined in order to stabilize the enemy in North China. The Huaihai battlefield, which was thousands of miles away, was surrounded by the enemy without fighting, so that the division who won the Battle of Liaoshan was given time to move south. Achieve both great victories in the Battle of Huaihai and the Battle of Tianjin. War practice shows that war control requires a high degree of consistency in multi-level control, and low-level control obeys high-level control. The fourth is to grasp the limitations of wars, control the scale and cost of wars, and improve the effectiveness of wars. The war should be limited to a local area as much as possible. This is the requirement of the historical trend of human peace and development. Achieving the finiteness of war depends on the control of the battle situation, that is, actively controlling the goal, scale, and time of the war. The future war is a war of high technology and high consumption, but also a war with strong destructive power and high lethality. To win the war quickly and well, we must precisely control the course of the war, war consumption, and war casualties. Try to avoid turning small battles into big battles, turning civil wars into foreign wars, turning one opponent into multiple opponents, turning quick decision battles into stalemate battles, and dragging the country into an endless war quagmire. Fifth, grasp the critical point of the transition of the war and try to avoid adverse chain reactions. The key to the control of the battle situation is the critical point of the transformation of the battle situation. A good grasp of the critical point has a decisive influence on the development of the battle situation. Under the conditions of informatization and intelligence, the emergence of the critical point of the battle situation is dynamic. Especially affected by the wave-like influence of uncertain factors, the criticality of the war situation is not only produced at the apex that marks a turning point in the war, but also a large number of inflection points that may trigger the transition of the battle situation. Grasping the tipping point is of great significance to the stability and development war. The critical point is not only an important factor in the planning of military operations, but also a sign of the transformation of the initiative of military operations. Controlling the critical point also masters the initiative of the battle. Therefore, for the strategic instructor, we should try our best to promote the emergence of the critical point of the battle that is beneficial to him and expand it with the trend. At the same time, prevent the critical point of the unfavorable battle from appearing. Try to avoid the reversal of the battle and contain the unfavorable chain reaction. Sixth is the highly efficient use of information means to master information and achieve control objectives. Knowing oneself and another can control words without information. No matter how clever strategic instructors are, they will become deaf and blind. Decision-making information is the engine of controlling the war situation. Control of the war situation is actually the process of transforming intelligence information into decision-making information. Strategic instructors always make decisions to adjust and transform combat operations based on new intelligence information and act on the combat process to give information superiority. Transform into action advantage to lead the development of the battle situation. In the information age, the battlefield is transparent, and the controllability of the battle situation is significantly improved. Information control has become the commanding height of war and the key position of battle situation control. In the final analysis, control of the war situation should establish the principle of obtaining and using information as the center, and control of the war situation should be based on knowing oneself, the enemy, the politics, the economy, the environment, and the social conditions. At the same time, try to prevent opponents from obtaining and effectively using information in a timely manner. Section 3. Controlling the start of the war. The factors that determine the victory or defeat of a war are often hidden in the beginning of the war. The mistakes at the beginning of war may continue to be magnified in the development of the war and have an immeasurable impact on the outcome of the war and the course of the war. Therefore, to grasp the beginning of a war, we should strictly control the conditions for the start of the war, exercise careful control, and make prudent decision-making to maximize the direct result of the war to victory, and at the same time, reduce the negative impact. 1. Control the target of war. Reasonably determining strategic objectives and scientifically grasping the degree of military strikes are the primary issues in controlling the start of a war. This must not only proceed from the needs of the operation itself, but also consider the strategic situation, national development, and power-based conditions. One is to control strategic goals. The finiteness of the political objectives of the war determines the finiteness of the strategic objectives. It is necessary to seriously consider the adaptability to the strategic environment and the principle of not destroying the overall peaceful environment, not causing chain reactions, and not leading to a sharp escalation of war. To meet the needs of national development, we should fully consider whether the intensity of war operations required by the strategic objectives will adversely affect the security and development of the country. To be compatible with one's own military capabilities, the determination of strategic objectives must be based on one's own military strength. Without this foundation, no matter how good the goal is, it is difficult to achieve it. Not only will it fail to achieve the political goal, but it will have adverse consequences. Therefore, when determining strategic goals, the boundaries should be grasped and not divorced from reality. The second is to control combat objectives. The combat objective is the stipulation of the results to be achieved in the implementation of combat operations. It determines the time, means, scale, and intensity of the war, and plays a directional role in the development of the battle situation. Generally speaking, the combat goal is large, the wartime is long, the means are many, the scale is large, and the intensity is high, and vice versa. Therefore, the screening of combat objectives should be based on the need to achieve political objectives, maintain the consistency of combat operations and strategic objectives, and appropriately determine the operational objectives and specific indicators. Two extremes need to be prevented in this regard. First, the mere pursuit of the finiteness of combat objectives, which is lower than the requirements of political objectives, cannot achieve strategic objectives, and it is difficult to achieve victory. The second is that the combat objectives exceed the limits of political objectives. Even if the battle is tactically won, it will bring passivity to the strategy. Therefore, as long as the political goals can be achieved, the smaller the combat objectives, the better. Determining combat objectives must pay attention to the benefits of both military and political aspects. It is not only convenient for the effective implementation of military operations, but also can produce an overall shocking effect in politics and strive to achieve the established political goals at a lower cost. This requires that when determining the combat target, we must carefully analyze the situation of the opponent in all aspects, find out its key points, and use it as the target of military strikes so as to achieve the effect of hitting one point, shaking the whole situation, and affecting the whole body. The third is to control the scope of operations. In order to be able to control the scale and intensity of the war and prevent the expansion and escalation of the war, it is necessary to formulate policies on the area of operations, the means of warfare, and the use of forces. 2. Control the intensity and scale of war. Controlling the intensity and scale of war requires a reasonable choice of war methods. The choice of means of war mainly includes what kind of weapon to use, what form of warfare to take, and some other auxiliary means. In choosing weapons, the following principles should be followed. Do not use weapons of mass destruction first, such as nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. Limit the use of weapons of mass destruction. For general conventional weapons, we should also minimize destruction and harm to the civilian population. Controlling the scale of war requires controlling the scale of force used. The political purpose of war is limited, which determines the finiteness of military objectives. 236 political goals can be achieved with the use of elite weapons, and there is no need to use a huge army to conduct large-scale operations. Although the entire battlefield space for war is large, the combat space for direct combat is relatively small, especially the prominent position of sea and air combat, which requires the reduction of large core operations and the use of limited elite forces to defeat the enemy. With the development of society, the status of key targets such as politics, economy, and military has become increasingly prominent. Direct strikes on key targets can promote the realization of political goals. In this case, the use of elite forces with long-range precision strikes becomes an inevitable choice. 3. Control the timing of war. In modern warfare, at the beginning, both sides will utilize elite weapons for fierce competition, and the first battle often has the nature of a decisive battle. If you win the first round of the contest, it will lay the foundation for the next battle and even directly achieve the final outcome. If you lose as soon as the war starts, it will be difficult to reverse the passive situation. Therefore, whether to win the initiative in the war, the first battle is very important, and the right time, the right battlefield, and the right goal must be carefully selected. We must pay attention to grasping the threshold of war, and we must be cautious and decisive in launching a war. The so-called prudence is to fully realize that war is the last resort to solve the problem. Before the war begins, the cost of achieving the expected goal must be carefully evaluated. Unless the country is in an extremely critical situation, or the interests of survival are threatened, or war can resolve disputes without causing similarly serious new problems, war should not be used as a reasonable means to implement policies. The so-called decisiveness is to fully realize that the opponent has already activated the war machine, and it is impossible to avoid war, and we must take the initiative to respond. Therefore, to control the beginning of a war, you need to determine the red line of the war, control the level of combat readiness, and strictly control the threshold of war. It is necessary to correctly analyze and judge the international and domestic situations and strive to launch a war under the most favorable conditions to ensure strategic initiative. Only in this way can we avoid falling into passivity and ensure victory at a relatively small cost. On this issue, the key is to properly grasp the timing of the war. The start is early, and the struggle goals in other fields, such as politics, economy, and diplomacy, have not been fully achieved in the early stage, and the conditions for the implementation of war have not yet been fully mature. A late start, changes in the opponent's situation, and changes in the battle environment may increase the difficulty of implementing battle situation control and even lose control of the battle situation. In future wars, the implementation of battle situation control should be closely monitored according to changes in the situation of both sides, timely analysis of the current situation and possible future developments, accurate judgments of the possible starting timing, correct selection of the timing of the launch of operations, and alleviation of threats and pressure on one side. It is necessary to control the first strike action because the first strike action has a direct or even decisive influence on the development of the war situation. If you choose the wrong one, you may unintentionally lose everything. Therefore, the choice of the first annihilation target must aim at the sensitive target that changes the battlefield situation and promotes the battle situation to benefit one's own development. The three principles of the first battle proposed by Mao Zedong must be followed. That is, the first battle must be won, the entire campaign plan must be taken care of, and the next strategic stage must be taken care of. The first strike action of information-based local war control should be based on the principle of conducive to the development of the war situation. It should not only have the option of attacking and annihilating the enemy's command and control system and effective forces, but also have the option of attacking and destroying the enemy's politically and economically sensitive, thereby causing a psychological shock to the enemy. Section 4. Control the development of the war situation. The motivation of the war is intricately complex. The battlefield situation is changing rapidly. Only by carefully guiding and effectively driving the whole process of the war and firmly grasping the initiative of the war can the final victory of the war be ensured. Therefore, to guide information-based local wars, it is necessary to scientifically plan the combat objectives, timing, style, scale, rhythm, and progress, implement small, ingenious, precise, and fast operations, and cooperate with political, economic, and diplomatic struggles with limited military operations, and strive to achieve strategic goals with minimal cost. 1. Regulate the rhythm of the war and stabilize the development of the war, the control of the rhythm of war, including the conversion of stop and stop, the adjustment of speed, the grasp of offense and defense, and so on. The purpose of controlling the pace of war is to firmly grasp the initiative of war, control the development direction of the war situation, and properly cooperate with political and diplomatic struggles to prevent the transformation of war in unfavorable directions so that the progress of war can be controlled according to one's own will, thereby improving the effectiveness of war. Specifically, the following points should be grasped. The first is to grasp the stability of the war. Stabilizing the war situation is the basis for advancing the war situation. Maintain a high degree of consistency between war control and strategic objectives in a favorable situation, and prevent the military from becoming hot-headed, disregarding political goals, and expanding the results of the battle unconditionally and indefinitely. Under unfavorable situations and violent fluctuations, it is even more necessary to stabilize the war situation, make decisive adjustments in response to changes in the war situation, the international situation, and the surrounding environment to contain the sudden change of the war situation in an unfavorable direction and to guide the steady development of the war situation. The second is to grasp the degree of relaxation. The implementation of war is to achieve political goals, so the pace of war must meet the needs of political struggle. Sometimes it is necessary to speed up the pace to create a favorable military situation for political negotiations. Sometimes it is necessary to slow down the pace to create a relaxed atmosphere for peace negotiations. Sometimes it is necessary to stop to create favorable conditions for political pressure. Modern warfare is increasingly subject to political constraints. Whether it is to fight or stop, whether it is fast or slow, whether it is to beat wolves or to attack side by side, everything is shifted by political needs. When in an active position, we should continue to develop the offensive, accelerate the pace of war, maintain a favorable situation, and end the war as soon as possible. When the enemy takes the initiative, he should slow down or switch to defense, looking for opportunities to seize the opponent's key parts or weak links, surprise the opponent, and reverse the situation. It is necessary to maintain sustained attack power and fast-paced combat operations in the main combat directions and key links. The third is to grasp the phase transition. It is necessary to foresee possible phase transitions in terms of the degree of achievement of the objectives of the current combat phase, the degree of changes in the enemy's power, and the degree of changes in the war situation. It is necessary to accurately grasp the timing of the transition, and the transition is too early, which is not conducive to the completion of the current task, nor is it conducive to the next stage of operations. If the conversion is too late, favorable opportunities and conditions will be lost. It is necessary to carefully manage and control the phase transition, and before implementing the strategic phase transition, sufficient preparations must be made for the transition. In the transition to the new combat phase, the transition must be gradually carried out. At the same time, it is necessary to adopt a variety of strategic disguise and deception measures to conceal conversion attempts and strive to achieve the suddenness of the phase conversion action. 2. Grasp the focus of combat and lead the development of the war situation. The focus of combat is the key position of the war situation and is essential to the victory of the war. Grasping the center of gravity is the key to controlling the whole thing. To guide operations, we must always pay attention to the center of gravity, tightly hold the center of gravity, and make every effort to ensure the center of gravity to strive for strategic initiative. The first is to grasp the primary and secondary relationship of the battle. In combat, if multiple opponents in different directions, especially strong enemies, intervene, it is necessary to distinguish the primary and secondary priorities and grasp the main opponent and direction. The main opponent and direction are the center of gravity, and the main battlefield and main goal of the main opponent is the specific performance of the combat center of gravity. They affect the overall situation. Victory means everything is alive, and other problems will be solved easily. Failure will cause disasters, and it will be difficult to deal with. Therefore, it is necessary to recognize the main enemy clearly. You cannot easily change your determination because of some local temporary situations or difficulties, opponents, and specific targets in combat. The second is to 239 control key combat operations. Controlling key combat operations is the basic way to grasp the center of combat focus and seize control of the battlefield, and is the focus and object of the control of the war situation. The control of key combat operations should focus on the overall need to seize comprehensive control of the battlefield, highlighting the active orientation of offensive operations rather than passive defense. If it is difficult to seize and maintain control of the battlefield in all time, space, and the entire process, you must ensure that you control the main direction, key actions in important seasons, and actively control the war situation. In order to ensure the victory of key combat operations, strategic instructors must not only be good at using key troops, concentrate their elite forces on the center of combat, form a strong local advantage, implement key strikes, but also supervise and adjust strategically significant battles from an overall perspective to ensure that the elite force is used in the most critical moment and the most valuable and most effective key goals. The third is to shift the focus of operations in due course. The combat center of gravity is not static, but advances or changes as the battlefield situation changes. This requires strategic instructors to discover, adjust, and take care of the center of gravity based on objective reality. During the War of Liberation, the Central Military Commission and the General Front Committee of the Huaihai Campaign, based on the reality of the national battlefield and the overall situation of the campaign, determined that the focus of the first stage of the campaign was to concentrate forces to annihilate the Huang Baitao Corps, and the focus of the second stage was to annihilate the Huang Wei Corps, and the center of gravity of the third stage is to completely wipe out the Tu Youming Group. Different stages of the Huaihai campaign determined different combat focuses, fought three major battles of annihilation, achieved complete victories, and promoted the development of the national war situation. Judging from historical experience, to shift the focus of operations, on the one hand, it is necessary to adapt to changes in the war situation and flexibly adjust the operational plan. The combat plan is determined based on one's own combat objectives and objective factors affecting combat. When the situation changes fundamentally or when subjective needs change, the plan should be adjusted in time or the main direction of operations should be changed and actions in other directions should be quickly coordinated and controlled based on the new main direction to achieve the combat goal. On the other hand, we must capture and create favorable fighter opportunities to promote the development of the war situation. Seizing a fighter that is beneficial to us but not to the enemy can enable the rapid development of the combat process in combat and enable the commander to firmly drive the initiative on the battlefield. The key to the use of fighter planes lies in whether we can organize the main troops and coordinate the various actions of the relevant troops so that the fighter planes can be used by us. 3. Control the escalation of the war and avoid losing control of the war situation. The escalation of war is a key issue related to the victory or defeat of the war, and it requires the strategic instructor to make a cautious decision. Fundamentally speaking, the use of war methods is to effectively achieve political goals, and whether war needs to be escalated should be determined by the degree and requirements of achieving political goals. Strategic directors should focus on the characteristics of the times of peace and development, and strictly control the escalation of war. The large-scale war caused by continuous escalation will not only adversely affect domestic politics, economics, and social stability, but also cause tensions in the regional or world situation, and even arouse widespread attention and condemnation from the international community and enter into an extremely passive situation in politics. The continuous escalation of the war may also trigger high-intensity military intervention and economic sanctions by external forces, which will affect the course of the war and the long-term development of the country. Therefore, the war should not be escalated as much as possible, and efforts should be made to solve problems with lower-intensity war operations to meet political needs. Under conditions where the escalation of war cannot be avoided, the strategic instructor must grasp the timing and scope of the escalation in accordance with the situation of the enemy and us in all aspects. Generally, the method of gradual escalation 29 should be adopted, and the method of skipping stages should not be adopted as much as possible. The strength must be gradually increased, the means must be gradually increased, the scope must be gradually expanded, and military and non-military means must be used in a comprehensive manner, both soft and hard, combined with talks, strive to control the war at a relatively low level, and win a great victory at a small price. Under the conditions of the new era, the political purpose of war is limited, the combat time is short, and the constraints are increasing. The mode of war termination shows a diversified trend. It has increasingly become a major issue that must be paid attention to by war directors. 1. Seize the opportunity and take the initiative to end the war at the right time. Proactively ending the war at the right time has a great bearing on preventing the expansion and escalation of the war. Seizing the timing of ending a war is an important link in the control of the war situation. It is affected and restricted by factors such as military objectives, war situation, overall national situation, and international and domestic situations. To grasp the timing of terminating combat operations, it is necessary to comprehensively consider political, economic, and military factors, take national interests as the criterion, and strive to end the war under the most favorable conditions. To grasp the timing of the end of the war, we must focus on the following situations. The first is whether it is beneficial to achieving political goals. The military objectives of the war are determined on the basis of political objectives. If the desired goal has been achieved, we will never engage in combat beyond political goals. Otherwise, things will be reversed. On the contrary, the benefits of war will be reduced due to the expansion of the results of the war, and the advantage will be wiped out. When military objectives are not fully achieved, but special circumstances arise, such as new political needs or serious military difficulties, major changes in the war situation, etc., you can also abandon certain predetermined objectives as needed and end military operations early, but the end of the war must be achieved in the way that is most beneficial to oneself. The second is whether a favorable war situation can be obtained. The most direct impact on the termination of combat operations is the situation of the war, because the situation is an intuitive indicator of the degree of control of the initiative. Affect the realization of national interests. When in a favorable situation, if internal and external conditions permit, and the next war action will not cause undue political, economic, and military losses, you can take advantage of the situation, take advantage of the attack, and achieve greater results and create a more favorable situation for political and diplomatic struggle. But if it continues to fight, it will not bring higher benefits and may even lead to a transformation of the battle situation in an unfavorable direction. Even if the situation is favorable, it should be decisive and decisively terminate combat operations. When in an unfavorable situation, two possible situations should also be considered. If the war can be reversed quickly, the enemy should be hit hard with short and powerful actions. And when a situation favorable to me emerges, we should immediately seek political solutions to solve the problem. If the war cannot be reversed in a relatively short period of time, the loss may outweigh the gains if the fight continues. At this time, it is better to terminate combat operations as early as possible and use vigorous political and diplomatic struggles to reduce losses and strive for the initiative. The third is whether it is beneficial to safeguarding national interests. The purpose of war is to safeguard national interests. If the war is fought to a certain extent and conflicts with the national interests, we must consider ending combat operations. Specifically, there may be four situations. First, the war is facing the danger of escalation, and continuing to fight will inevitably rise to a larger-scale war, which will seriously affect the stability of the country and the overall situation of economic construction. Second, the international community intervenes. The intensity is relatively large, especially the implementation of joint economic sanctions, which affects national security and long 242-term development. Third, the war is too expensive, and the country's human, material, and financial resources are unbearable. Fourth, the other party plans to carry out a devastating blow to the lifeline of our national economy, which may lead to structural destruction of the economic foundation. Under the above-mentioned circumstances, it is necessary to conduct a thorough analysis of the pros and cons, grasp the most fundamental requirements of national interests, choose small ones, seek advantages and avoid disadvantages, and decisively terminate combat operations when necessary. The fourth is whether the international and domestic situation is favorable. Under the conditions of the new era, the international and domestic situation has an increasing influence on the termination of combat operations, and we must pay close attention to it. When a large-scale external military intervention occurs, and the situation is extremely unfavorable to me, and we have basically achieved the goal of the war, combat operations should be terminated immediately to avoid a passive situation. If not confronting foreign enemies will cause even more unfavorable consequences, we should fight against them resolutely. When the situation is favorable for us, we can also consider terminating combat operations and use the strong pressure of the international community to force the enemy to submit so as to reduce losses and increase efficiency. Regarding the domestic situation, we should pay close attention to the problems that arise in other strategic directions. If you are forced to be in an unfavorable situation of fighting on both sides, you should first stabilize the situation in the secondary direction and at the same time accelerate the progress of the war in the main direction, end combat operations as soon as possible, and avoid passiveness in the overall situation. 2. Choosing the way to end the war and leading political negotiations. Wars always have a specific way to end. To grasp the way to end wars, we must conduct in-depth analysis and accurate judgments on military objectives, war situations, the overall situation of the country, and the international and domestic situation. Historical experience tells us that a local war must use a combination of military action and political negotiation to terminate the war. In choosing the way to terminate the war, we must grasp the unity of principle and flexibility. Taking the national interest as the fundamental, safeguard the national interest as much as possible. There can be a certain degree of flexibility on some non-principle issues, but there can be no compromise on major issues of principle, such as national territorial sovereignty and integrity, national honor and dignity. For this reason, military operations and political negotiations must be used interchangeably or simultaneously to achieve the best results. Under the information-based local war, political negotiation has become the main way to end the war. The political goals of local wars are limited. In many cases, military operations are to create favorable conditions for political negotiations. The transition from combat operations to political negotiations requires attention to three issues. First, combat operations must strive to create the most favorable war situation. The more favorable this situation is, the more proactive and comfortable political negotiations will be. The second is that combat operations must build momentum. Mainly, 243 carry out a moderate attack on the enemy, leaving sufficient room for political negotiations. Third, after the transition from combat operations to political negotiations, we must continue to maintain military pressure on the enemy and use a strong military force as a backing to promote the process of political negotiations. At the same time, to prevent the breakdown of the negotiations and the rebound in the war, they will be put into combat operations again. At the end of the war, the strategic director needs to regulate the connection between battlefield operations and political negotiations. Sometimes battles and negotiations are carried out at the same time, and talks are conducted while fighting to promote the talks. Sometimes combat operations are temporarily stopped, and the two sides conduct political negotiations, and the problems cannot be resolved at the negotiating table, and then battlefield operations continue. In the war to resist U.S. aggression and aid Korea, Mao Zedong adopted the policy of fighting while talking, organically combining battlefield operations with diplomatic negotiations, grasping victory with one hand and negotiations with the other. Although our military lags far behind the U.S. military in weaponry and technology, it has taken the initiative in strategy. It can be seen that at the end of the war, the role of combat operations is still very prominent, not to mention that fighting while talking is inseparable. Even if combat operations are transferred to political negotiations, it does not mean that the war is completely over. As long as the negotiations do not reach an agreement, wars are likely to be repeated. Therefore, in the process of political negotiations, continuing to maintain strong military pressure on the enemy can promote the negotiation on the one hand. On the other hand, it can prevent the enemy from counterattacking and ensure strategic initiative. 3. Quickly achieve post-war stability and contain the resumption of war. Proper post-war arrangements in order to prevent the recurrence of wars are an inevitable requirement for achieving conducive peace. In fact, the ending of the war must ultimately be implemented to be conducive to the real peace of the country and the people. Therefore, it is necessary to mobilize the most extensive international justice force to defend the people's peaceful interests and achieve stability after the end of the war. The first is to mobilize all peaceful forces to resolve post-war conflicts through political, diplomatic, and other means. It is necessary to properly handle the aftermath of the end of the war and a series of aftermaths after the end of the war. During this period, since the situation has not yet been completely stabilized and there is still the possibility of accidents and military conflicts, it is still necessary to maintain the necessary vigilance and make full preparations. Efforts should be made to eliminate all kinds of hidden dangers that may destabilize the situation and strive to avoid intensification of contradictions, especially to avoid sudden factors that cause the war to get out of control and the war to restart. In this regard, we must not take the initiative to provoke incidents and keep the war situation relatively stable. Once contradictions and conflicts occur again, we must focus on safeguarding the overall situation and shift from political needs, try our best to adopt a calm and restrained attitude, use combat operations prudently, and strive to deal with them in a low-key manner and do our best not to evolve into war again. The second is to give play to the role of international law and international public opinion to restrain war stalkers. Existing international law, represented by the Charter of the United Nations, has made many specific provisions on war-related issues. Although its binding and coercive power is limited, and countries have different understanding and application of relevant provisions, it has been widely adopted, accepted by most countries. Therefore, giving play to the positive role of international law can not only reduce the risk of war, but also persuade people by reasoning, guide people in the light of the situation, and take the initiative after the war. At the same time, we must also mobilize the peace-loving forces of the world, especially the forces of public opinion, to guide the enemy's camp to have a voice of peace at the end of the war and encourage the people of the world to oppose the resumption of war and jointly maintain the peace situation. The third is to maintain a certain degree of military pressure and deterrence. In a certain period after the end of the war, when trying to alleviate conflicts through political, diplomatic, and other means, we should not relax the preparations for military conflict, deploy a certain counterattack force in the theater, and at the same time, do not relax the combat readiness in order to cope with the unexpected. The enemy's military provocations are mainly countered by military deterrence, and warring actions are taken cautiously.